You have time for one, maybe two questions.
I had a question. So I'm not a margarine connoisseur. They all kind of look the same to me. But if you're trying to transpose this into the healthy foods and you want me to give up my Twinkies for spinach, say, there might be significant differences in the perception of the replacement here.
What you're asking me is like I'm looking more on an intensive margin, so I'm already taking for granted you're going to buy juice, and I'm wondering which juice. You're asking more on the extensive margin. Is my propensity to buy juice something that shows inertia? I haven't studied that, but I haven't fit a model like this to it. That's a more elaborate model because you have inside and outside substitution. But I wouldn't be surprised at all if we saw that kind of behavior. What I had in mind for the stuff that Laurette and I want to do are literally within categories where you have choices between something like Sunny Delight and Fresh Tropicana. And you see someone buying Sunny Delight, which actually is 5% juice, versus Tropicana, which at least according to the labeling is 100% fresh juice. Can you actually induce someone to stop buying orange drink and start buying orange juice?
Okay, so you might just be able to add some more terms to your model to maybe...
Certainly could.
I just wanted to maybe make a comment regarding the first talk. I think that your conclusion is a little bit misleading regarding the fact that overweight may not be a risk factor. The real conclusion is that BMI doesn't measure the risk of being overweight, because BMI is a poor measure. It's convenient, but what's really dangerous is visceral fat, not just fat. And we also know, for example, that in elderly people, if you're slightly overweight and you're admitted to hospital, let's say for pneumonia, you do better than someone who is thinner because you're underfed when you're acutely ill in a hospital. What's dangerous about slight overweight is during middle age, if you have visceral obesity in middle age, that leads to a whole host of diseases later in life, including, we now know, things like Alzheimer's disease and Parkinson's disease, which is really emerging evidence. So I wouldn't conclude from the data that slight overweight is protective or even that it's not risky. I would rather conclude that BMI is not a good measure of overweight.
What I would respond there, I think actually it's a bigger issue, because this group of individuals who aged actually didn't go through childhood obesity the way we see it now. So what we don't see in this group is sort of what are the lifetime effects of living with higher levels of obesity. I think that's the real absence of the paper. I think our results are actually really robust to the work in the United States with measured body weights and waist circumference and so on. But we could not get that from these Canadian data. But they really do reflect what others have found. So what we're missing, though, is that what happens to that cohort who's lived with that throughout their entire lifetimes? And I think that's clearly missing from there.
So if Alain... If you can come back up. Robert Levitin and Ahmed El-Samin. Come in, please. Thank you, panelists. Okay, go ahead.